If your business has been praying for new leads, well, this episode we're going to talk about inbound, and I'm going to help you see the light.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery. Brought to you by Wirebuzz.
Hi, and thank you for joining me for another episode of Video Marketing Mastery. As Mick Jagger told us, things are different today, right? And they sure are. Prospects now review 5 pieces of content before they ever get on the phone with a salesperson. Plus, prospects are also looking at 12 pieces of content before they're ready to buy. And that's why in a moment I'm going to be joined by the Sales Lion, inbound marketing rock star Marcus Sheridan. And Marcus and I are going to talk about the power of content marketing, how creating the right content helps your target customers create awareness when they discover you in search, how content helps them trust you when they're in the consideration stage, and how that content ultimately helps them make a buying decision. And it makes it so much easier. Now, if you've been religiously listening to this podcast, it should be obvious by now that I'm a huge believer in inbound marketing and inbound sales tactics. In fact, I just taught the inbound sales certification course for HubSpot in Phoenix 2 weeks ago. My personal case study video can be found on HubSpot's website. But if you haven't heard my HubSpot story, I signed up while I was still in my first 30-day free trial, and I launched my first inbound HubSpot marketing campaign, and I targeted only 50 prospects that were all going to the same conference as me. And because video is the most powerful tool on the internet, because video is highly persuasive and it does a better job maintaining attention span than any other type of content, I added video throughout my buyer's journey. And well, that first HubSpot campaign in my 30-day free trial quickly generated $350,000 in new revenue for my company, and a believer was born. Can I get an amen, Christopher? That was the choir. Yes, but I'm not the only believer in this conversation. Back during the economic collapse of 2008, Marcus Sheridan's swimming pool company was on the brink of going out of business. And in order to save his company, Marcus threw himself into what is commonly referred as inbound marketing. And, well, you guessed it, his business absolutely took off. And that's why I'm joined right now by Marcus Sheridan. Hey, Marcus.
Todd, what's up, man? I'm pumped to be here, bud.
I know, I feel the same way. Okay, let's rewind the clock for a bit. You know, before you were the sales lion, the king of the jungle, tell me about the pool business and what was going on there for you.
Well, started it with two buddies out of the back of a pickup truck, literally, in 2001. I'd just gotten out of college. And, you know, we had big dreams, whatever. And we kind of grew and chugged along, had our ups and our downs, but we really hit a wall in 2008 when the marketplace collapsed. In fact, there were swimming pool companies all over the country that went out of business in 2008, 9, and 10 because of the housing market.
Right.
And, you know, I went through a period of 3 straight weeks in January of 2009 where I was overdrawn my personal and business bank account, and all of my credit cards, personal and business, were maxed out. And I talked to 3 different consultants, and they all said the same thing: file bankruptcy. And so that's where we were. And it was easily the most stressful, difficult time of my life. It was a tough time, but of course, in hindsight, it's the foundation of everything I am today professionally, and that's the reason why I'm talking to you. So I'm actually grateful for that collapse.
Yeah, it's really interesting. You know, I started my business, Wirebuzz, roughly around the same time, and people look at me, like still today, people go, I can't believe you started your company then. I mean, and I just was trying to survive. I went through 11 months without any revenue, and I totally get it. So back in 2008, when you knew you needed to flip the script in order to save your business, and you started answering every question that customers have ever asked you about pools, did you know that back then that you were practicing inbound, or did you just stumble into the inbound methodology?
No. So I have a strong affinity for HubSpot. Anybody that's ever read my stuff kind of knows that, but there's a specific reason, and it's a classic case study of give to get by HubSpot. So I'm naturally a competitive guy,
right,
I would say.
Right.
And I want to feel like I'm performing at a high level, whatever
right.
That thing is that I'm doing. And when we were getting ready to lose our company, I said to myself, all right, this internet thing, I got to figure it out. It's the only way I think we're going to make it And so I started researching about how to use the internet to grow your business. I stumbled across this one website called like webgrader.com, I think is what it was called back then. And it turns out it was a tool made by Dharmesh,
wow,
one of the founders of HubSpot. And what it did is you put your URL in and it spit you out a report saying, this is why your website is awesome or this is why it stinks. And I gave you a score of 1 to 100 and I scored a 17. And I said, bull crap. I know 17.
Whoa, wait a second. This isn't like golf, right? You don't want the low score,
no,
man.
This ain't low score, Jack. This is, you know, I was the lowest F possible pretty much. And, so I said, holy cow, how do I get it up? How do I, take this score from a 17 to at least make it a passing grade? It was a pretty smart way of getting me interested. And really, the HubSpot website was one of the first sites that spoke to me in a way that I said, you know what? This makes sense. And the philosophy of inbound made sense. Yeah, I wanted to attract them to me because I was sick and stinking tired of yellow pages and of home shows,
right,
and of, hemorrhaging money and pay-per-click. And I needed to figure out a way to do, to generate the same business without spending any money. And so I started conversations with HubSpot at that time, and that's really where the game changed.
That is really cool. I'm a big fan. Few people have owned the conversation in their industry like you have, Marcus. And for those who haven't started on the inbound path, can you paint the picture and explain why there's value in using content to own the conversation in an industry?
I think we all thirst today, personal, professional, political level for leaders and people we can trust. We don't want to feel as humans like we're alone. And when we find someone that speaks to us, communicates with us on that level, it makes us feel like they get us, they understand us, they're willing to walk through that thing with us, then all of a sudden this magical emotion called trust occurs. And that happens in all facets of life. And it's as applicable to a business as it is to, a personal relationship. In 2009, when I was really studying the internet, I read a lot of fancy phrases. Inbound marketing, content marketing, social media marketing, blogging,
right,
all those things. But really what I heard was, look, Marcus, if you're willing to be obsessed with what your prospects and customers think, feel, say, fear, search, and then you're willing to address those fears, issues, worries, concerns, questions, etc. on your website through text and video, you just might be successful. You just might ultimately earn their trust and then, of course, earn their business. And so our core philosophy became four simple words, which is now that, it's a philosophy that's really revolutionized a lot of companies that embrace it, which is they ask, you answer. But they ask, you answer isn't just about, okay, somebody asked me the question, I'm going to write a blog post or produce a video on it today. They ask, you answer is when, 15 years ago, people all over the world said, I hate buying a used car because I hate dealing with the salesperson. And CarMax said, okay, let's have set pricing, no haggling whatsoever, and salespeople get paid the same commission. And they grew to become the largest used car retailer in the world. That wasn't an accident. That was the ask, you answer. And so it's as applicable offline as it is online. But when it comes to digital and when it comes to inbound, it's the essence of really what makes a company successful and becomes the trusted source, the WebMD, the Wikipedia of their space.
All right, cool. So, look, I've always felt a yin-yang or a karmic force with inbound marketing where helpful is the new viral. And when you created content of yourself answering every pool question that your customers had asked you, do you ever get that sense of being part of that helpful universe and the amazing flow of people that wanted to do business with you because you were being altruistic?
You know what?
Is that too new agey of a question?
I don't think it is because, when you produce content, or in other words, become a teacher,
right,
it forces you to figure out what you're really trying to say. And there's power behind that, man, because what was happening was around the same time that I was going through the financial turmoil, I was experiencing a different type of frustration as well. And that was, I would walk into a home, I would sell a swimming pool, and I would leave without feeling much satisfaction.
Yeah.
Whereas 5 years before, I was like, man, give myself high fives in the car, you know? Classic salesperson, you know, make close the deal, feel good. I stopped feeling good. And I had to reconcile that. Why do I not feel good? And frankly, I felt like a stallion that was pent up and couldn't run. And when stallions don't run, they die. And so I said, either I'm going to start to run or I'm going to die. Now, I didn't physically, like, I didn't say those, verbalize those things. But in hindsight, I realized that's what was happening. And so when I could start to produce this content, I got, when I started the blog on River Pools and I started to see the engagement, I started to see the traffic increases. I started to see the impact that it was having on the industry. All these things happening, I got that feeling back. And then it felt so good that I said, I need to tell everybody else what I'm doing.
Right.
This junk is working. And that's when, of course, within the next year, I started the sales line. And that really changed my life.
And it's such a great vibe. So you aren't in the pool business anymore, right? I think you are now just full-time sales line. You speak around the country and share your wisdom.
Partner. I'm a partner. I probably spend 2 to 3 hours a week with River Pool.
All right. Cool. And then talk to me about video. You know, I've been following you. When did you start using video, and how has video helped you advance your business goals?
Oh, bro, man, I wish I could show you the first video I produced.
Please do.
In 2010, it was probably 10 o'clock one night. I was at the pool office, and I'd been reading about YouTube that day. And I'm like, you know what? I can do this stuff, man. I can talk.
Right.
And so I got these work site. Lamp lights, these huge, powerful work site that you put on, you know, on a job site to light it up at night. And I put like two of them in my office. And when you look at the video today, it's one of the most appalling videos I've ever seen. And I was talking about salt chlorine generators for swimming pools. And I was sitting at a desk, so you only saw like chest above. My eyes looked sunken in because the lighting was so bad. There's a big shadow behind me. Everything about it fundamentally was just wrong. It was, the audio wasn't great. And of course, today I think the video has a couple hundred thousand views, right?
Right.
That works. And so I look at that, I laugh. Just similar to my first blog article, Stunk Up the Joint. You know, I didn't know how to write it the right way. It didn't look the right way. I mean, nothing was probably very good about it, but other than the fact that I had published. But I look at it as a great victory. And I look at that first video as a great victory because I could start to visually tell the story, and I could start to create a relationship with prospects and clients that I never created before.
Right.
I'm so stinking all in with video. And let me give you one really quick story about video that makes people tilt the head a little bit. You know, for years when I was a pool guy, I'd set up a sales appointment and, I'd go up to the house and I'd knock on the door and I would hear a kid in the background. I would say, Mom, Dad, pool guy's here. You know, the kid's pretty stinking excited, right?
Right.
Because they're thinking about they're getting a pool, they're into this. I heard that for years. Then when I started to integrate video into the whole mix, content process, the inbound process, sales process, I started to have this experience. I would knock on the door, and then all of a sudden I'd hear the kids say, Mom, Dad, the guy on the video is here. That was an amazing, amazing moment when it first happened. And it happened again and again and again.
There's a historical bias to that too, because they look at you as being a celebrity because, you know, historically we've always seen people on TV and thought of them as celebrities. So you must be a guru.
Totally, Todd, totally. You know how many kids in homes said to me, I didn't know you really worked for the company. I thought you were an actor.
Right.
That's what a lot of these little kids said. Of course, you're absolutely right. And I hold the belief that if you're in the business of sales, which pretty much is 100% of us, if you're in the business of sales and you do sales presentations, pitches, demos, whatever you want to call it, if the person hasn't seen your face, heard your voice, and listened to your philosophies and doctrine before that initial sales appointment, you failed them.
Right.
You failed them. And that's the beauty behind inbound, is because they can do all those things. It's a great vetting process for the consumer.
I have a rock star doctor that's been following me for years and been pretty much implementing everything that I mentioned to him. And he told me that 90% of all new patients have already watched a video and will reference it upon first meeting when they come in to see him. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
That's right.
Right?
And it was 50% 3 years ago. It's right. 90 today. It's 95 tomorrow.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think what we're trying to do is we're trying to do what we do on first dates and first meetings and first job interviews. We're trying to evaluate if somebody is credible or trustworthy, if they feel like they're somebody that we can benefit from, or we want to be in their company. And before you know it, you know, with the right video and the right presentation and authenticity, you're in the process of also converting people.
We're in the vetting age, man.
Yeah.
You know, it's so interesting to me that I used to be a pool guy, right? I was in the game of trust. People trust me enough, they bought pools. And then I got in the business of digital sales and marketing, consulting, you know, all this stuff. I got into the business of trust. I think when companies understand that fundamentally we're all the same, they don't sit there and yap off about how they're B2B, B2C, local, national,
right,
whatever the crap they are, service product. But when they say, I'm like everybody else, actually, and the reason why people buy from me is the same as everybody else, then they can do amazing things because that becomes their compass. Okay, so that will deter trust, and then we won't do it. That will generate trust, then let's do it. It's very, very simple.
Marcus, can we talk about what happens? Like how long after you started creating content, and let's say you got a good amount of content into your site, did you start to see people converting because of it? From start to conversion, when did you start to see things changing?
I think this is one of the biggest, I don't know if the right word is misinformed, but misunderstood
right.
Elements of inbound. And I'm going to be frank with you, dude. When I hear companies say it takes a year or two for social inbound, et cetera, content to really work, I want to vomit in my mouth. Because that indicates to me they don't understand what's really happening here. Because inbound can work tomorrow if
right.
you start today. What I mean by that, okay, a couple of things. Number one, and this is the first thing I realized, because I was in sales and I was producing content, I was answering, addressing questions through text and video. I kept experiencing something over and over again. I would produce a piece of content during the day, let's say, answering a question. I would go on a sales appointment that night. Somebody would ask me that same question.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, I gave a dramatically better, more effective answer that night than I had before that because I had practiced distilling my thoughts and really explaining the thing. That's the first great benefit of inbound.
Right, right.
When you become a teacher, you become a dramatically better communicator, and that will impact closing rates. That's tomorrow. Second thing, I realized pretty quickly, you know what? I can use this content in the sales process. So in other words, when they contact me, I know they're going to ask a bunch of these questions. When I get to that sales appointment, why do I need to answer the same questions every single time? Why don't I start using these now and give them these in a ebook format or
right.
in a video format and say, look, I want you to watch this before I come out because it's going to have a dramatic impact on our conversation and we'll get much more done quickly in that conversation, right?
Right.
And so that can be immediate. You see, how most people hear or interpret this question is, when am I going to start to get more leads? And although that is very valid, that's not the reason why we should say, oh, I'm going to do inbound because the process of doing this has a greater impact, arguably, on the sales side of the business than it does on the marketing side.
Mm-hmm.
So the initial impact immediate will happen on the sales side if you do it right. Now, in terms of when does it work from a traffic leads perspective, that all depends on two major factors. How saturated is that industry with content, which I call the CSI, okay, Content Saturation Index.
Sure.
So depending on the saturation levels of the industry, it can be harder to get your voice heard. Not going to make any bones about
it. Because there's a lot of chatter.
Yeah, there's a lot of chatter. So it's much harder for me to become a thought leader in the social media space than it is swimming pools. it's a big, big difference. So the CSI does make a difference, but it doesn't mean you should change your behavior based on CSI. It just means that, you know, sometimes it takes a little bit longer to get to where you want to be from a traffic leads, ultimately sales perspective. The other factor is what they are producing content about, and this is the great mistake. I see too many businesses living in the land of what I call fluff. Mm-hmm. They're producing articles that maybe sound nice, maybe feel nice, or videos, or whatever it is, that don't actually generate business, that aren't actually talking to the buyer. And so if you're going to start to produce content, you start with buyer-based questions, not fluff. Let me give you an example of it.
Yeah, please do.
All right. So if you're a pool guy, stupid starting point would be 5 fun games to play in your swimming pool.
Right.
That's dumb. But you know how many times I've seen people, even swimming pool companies, write articles like that? That's dumb. Because we don't know if a person is searching for fun games to play in my swimming
pool. Already has a pool.
Reading, maybe they have a pool. Maybe they don't. Maybe they are going to their friend's house this weekend. Maybe there's a party this weekend.
Right.
I don't know. But I do know there is nothing there that clearly says they're going to buy a pool and they have a good chance of buying it from me.
Right.
So that's one. So that's out. That's not even in the funnel. That's like on the other side of the planet of the funnel. Now, top of the funnel, sales funnel, would be something like pools, swimming pools versus campers, which is the better investment? Okay. So now the person is actually thinking about buying a pool. So I would consider them at least somewhere in the kind of funnel of terms of buyer-based questions. Not the same type of sales funnel of either getting ready to buy versus they're getting, you know. But I'm talking about the questions have their own like style of being in the funnel in terms of depth of how they indicate where they are as a buyer. And so the person that says campers versus swimming pools, yeah, they're thinking about a pool, but it's not definitive they're going to get a pool, much less a fiberglass pool, much less from me. And so at least they're in the game. But you don't start there either. I'll tell you where you start. You start with things like, who are the best fiberglass pool builders in Richmond, Virginia? Because that is someone that absolutely wants a fiberglass pool. They live in Richmond, Virginia, and they're looking for a contractor right stinking now. And that article is a powerful article. In fact, I wrote it, and it's made me hundreds of thousands of dollars in sales, which
right.
is why if anybody goes online and searches best pool builders Richmond, Virginia, that is the article that you're going to read right now if you're listening to this. And you can see exactly how I did it, and it's made hundreds of thousands. And it's also the reason why we talk about competitors, because if somebody's researching your competitors, that means they're looking to buy
right.
in your market, and that means you should be a part of the conversation. See, this is where we start. This is where we start, because it means the person clearly is going to buy that thing, and too many companies start in the land of fluff.
And they never actually make it back to the land of reality.
Right, and then they ask, well, yeah, we tried that whole blogging thing, but, you know, we really didn't get any results.
Right.
Bullcrap.
Right.
I'm not buying it. You didn't want to play where the buyer plays. You wanted to be in the land of fluff.
It's interesting. You know, when I got started with inbound content, I noticed overnight that people who already knew me started sending me introductory leads from people that they knew or they worked with. And it's because people that knew me were already somewhere in my, you know, the awareness stage or in my funnel. And so, you know, I just noticed that just out of nowhere, it just started, the river started. And can we talk about what happens when you align your sales and marketing for a moment? You know, for me, I think of it as something magical happened inside of our business. And it happened recently. You know, I use the term magical like really loosely because I knew exactly what I was doing when I was building out our inbound marketing and sales tactics. But our sales cycle decreased from 8 weeks to 3 weeks. And now we're closing 3 deals in the same amount of time than we would in our original 8-week sales cycle. And so what we're doing is Like when somebody hands us a question in a meeting, we follow up with an email that has a video in that email. It's really just an image with a play button that links them to a landing page where that video lives. And I know you get that, but I say that for anybody who's listening in. But making sure that we can use kind of an inbound sales methodology of responding with the right content or the right objection or comparison handle video at the right time, condense that whole sales cycle and move people through the process quicker. What do you see when there's an alignment between sales and marketing?
Yeah, I think one of the great tragedies is the fact that we still have two different departments called sales and marketing. And I think if somebody understands, you know, that the big stat today is roughly 70, B2B, B2C, roughly 70% of the buying decision is made before they talk to a salesperson.
Right.
That means that the sale, the majority thereof, is happening within the realm of marketing. Marketing has always been viewed as an expense. Sales has been viewed as revenue. That in and of itself is fundamentally screwed up and flawed and has to change as well. It's funny that marketing is having such a huge impact on the sale, yet marketing, generally speaking, they're not the subject matter experts. They're not hearing the questions all day long. They're not giving the answers all day long. They're in marketing. And so that's why sales needs to be a part of marketing.
Right.
That's why they need to be essentially, in most cases, at least somewhat merged together as departments. Because if they're not, then you got marketing producing ebooks that sales doesn't want or need. You have sales addressing questions that marketing isn't addressing. And really, it's not marketing's job to be a teacher. That's the job of the sales team. That's the job of the subject matter experts. The job of the marketing team is A, to make everybody on the team look really smart because they're facilitating the process of them being subject matter experts, and B, making sure those smarts get out to the world. That's the job of marketing today.
Right. You know, and I see that the on a sales team and marketing, you know, in most clients that when they bring us in, I see like this really weird, you kind of alluded to it, like animosity between marketing and sales, like they're on two teams that are fighting each other. And what I've noticed is that on the sales team, generally their best salesperson has already discovered how to optimize the sales process and how to speed up the answering of common objections and pushbacks. And that's the person that should be in many cases utilized by the marketing team to create the content that gets sent for training, for common objections, and all those things in the decision stage. And yet they often are the ones that are overlooked. It's a weird world out there, Marcus Sheridan.
It is a weird world. And that's why I think the biggest, you know, having done this now for 5 or 6 years, the number one email I've gotten is not, "Marcus, my business is in trouble. What are your ideas to, you know, help?" The number one email that I've gotten is, "Marcus, I am so frustrated. I know that inbound, I know that content, I know whatever it is the way for us to go as a business. And if we don't address it, we're going to be in trouble. But I can't get buy-in. I can't get buy-in from leadership.
Right.
I can't get buy-in from sales. And I'm just at wit's end." And it's sad. Do you know how many people that I've had to walk through the process of leaving their company because they were going to, again, they were stallions. They couldn't run. And because they couldn't run, they hated their job.
Yeah.
I've told so many people the last 5 years, you know, I can see based on the culture there that management isn't going to get it. And so you're either going to leave or you're going to be unhappy. But you're going to have to do one of the two. But I've had a lot of people that have left, found a company that gets it, understands that we're in the year 2016, and are like happier than they've ever been.
Well, they're trotting like stallions.
Freaking A.
Well, he's Marcus Sheridan. If you want to know more about Marcus, please listen to the Mad Marketing Podcast. I'm a frequent listener. It's one of the things that, oh, by the way, Marcus, you should hear this. I'm the dork at the gym that isn't listening to Zeppelin. I'm the one that's listening to the Mad Marketing Podcast.
You burn more calories that way, brother.
I'm learning as I go. I'm learning and growing, getting huge in my brain and my biceps at the same time. And for more information on Marcus, make sure you go to Mad Marketing Podcast, and you can always learn how to improve your sales and marketing communications by visiting thesaleslion.com. That's thesaleslion.com. Marcus Sheridan, thank you so much for joining us on Video Marketing Mastery.
Thanks, Todd. Take care, buddy.
Well, that was a great interview with Marcus Sheridan, the Sales Lion, letting us come into his den to learn about content marketing and inbound and HubSpot and how all these cool tools work together for video so you can be mastering your job with marketing and sales and be using these tools to convert people at faster and faster rates. Now, keep in mind, you heard his frustration. I shared mine earlier too. I'm sure you're feeling it also. There's a really cool inbound marketing certification on HubSpot. I'm going to link to it on the show notes page, which I'm going to tease in a moment. And you can go up there and you can click on it and learn the foundations of inbound marketing. It's I've gone through the certification process. Almost everybody in our office has gone through it. Hey, Christopher, have you gone through inbound certification?
Yes.
See, even Christopher has. It's such a valuable tool for an inbound marketer. If you're out of a job and you want a job and you've got that inbound certification, or you got HubSpot certification, which you can get on the same page, you can demand significantly more income. But if you work for a company or you are a marketing boss, then by all means, you should understand inbound certification and the methodology and how to use it to amplify your results. Because as Marcus testified, and as I gave you my own testimony, well, we are witnesses to the success of inbound marketing, and it has changed our entire paradigms and our businesses. If you're struggling trying to figure out how you can pick the right topics and how you can choose profitable video topics for your business, well, we have a worksheet that we've created at Wirebuzz that helps you select the very specific topics for your business that can help you generate money. And that's wirebuzz.com/topics. That's where you can download it for free, wirebuzz.com/topics. This is episode 24. It's really easy to remember. If you want to get the show notes, go to wirebuzz.com/24. The number 24, like Kobe Bryant. He switched his number to 24 when he needed to turn his life around, just like you can and your business with inbound marketing, just like I have or Marcus has. wirebuzz.com/24. And if this podcast is valuable to you, please go to iTunes and subscribe and don't miss an upcoming episode. When you subscribe, I send them directly to your mobile device, the latest podcast episode, so you can be a big dork like me and listen to a podcast when you're at the gym. Please give us a really honest rating and review on iTunes. Don't forget to know that I read every review because as a marketer, I want to learn, perfect, and polish. And I think it's pretty clear. I did my job. Check that off the list. I brought what I said I would do. I bring you the biggest names in marketing and then show you how to weave video into it so you can amplify your business, marketing, and sales results using the power of video. And we did that right here, you and me, on Video Marketing Mastery.